Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the Holy Spirit teaching us the word today and guiding us into all the truth. That's what you said he would do, Lord Jesus. And so we expect him to do that in our lives today. And I thank you that the Holy Spirit will inspire me and anoint me to communicate this word and this message, Lord, in the way that you have opened it up in my heart. I pray, Lord, that the same revelation, the same reality, Lord, as you've shown it to me, it would be communicated to the hearts of every person here today and everyone listening to this message as well. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone that agreed said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Amen. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. So the Apostle Paul here in this passage in 1 Corinthians 9, and in many other passages in the New Testament, uses the example of running a race to illustrate spiritual truths of living the Christian life, of following the calling of God and the plan and purpose of God for his life. And as you may know, since the last time that I stood before you to minister, I ran in the Great Peachtree Road Race on the 4th of July with 60,000, Wendy and I, and 60,000 other people. Wendy was participating with some of her friends, and Scarlett and I say ran together. She was in a different group, and she finished way before me, but we went down there together anyway. But as I was participating in the Peachtree Road Race, certain spiritual truths came to my mind as I was running. I was thinking about these great spiritual truths that apply to our walk with God in our Christian life, and I want to share those with you this morning. The spiritual lessons that I learned or were reminded of or was reminded of from the Peachtree Road Race. So first of all, Paul says that the race we're running, and look at what he says in verse number 25. If we'll go back to that one, Grayson. In verse 25, he says, everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. We got a T-shirt, and that was it. Yeah. T-shirt. It's a decent T-shirt, and it's a kind of, you know, a collector's item. It's the 50th. It was the 50th running of the Peachtree Road Race. So I guess that's kind of a big deal. But all I got was a T-shirt. But here it says, this race that we're all running in, this spiritual race that we're running in, we are doing it to obtain an imperishable crown, an eternal crown, a crown that will never, ever, ever, never, ever fade away, a crown that we will have for all eternity. Amen. An imperishable crown, all right? And so as we go through this message, I'm going to show you, I'm going to point out to you from the Scripture what you can do to qualify for this crown, how you can get this crown. So lesson number one, I have six lessons, six things that I observed here. But lesson number one is this: a goal provides motivation and focus. A goal provides motivation and focus. Look at what Paul says in verse 26 again. He says, therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. And Paul Spicer is always quick to point out Southerners' use of double negatives. And so the Apostle Paul, I've always contended he was from the South because he always talked about you all. I pray for you all. And he says, you all pray for me. So anyway, here Paul uses a double negative, but he uses it on purpose. He says, I run thus, not with uncertainty. So if you unravel that, what he's saying is this. He says, I run with certainty, right? I run. And when he says, I run not with uncertainty, not and un, those are the double negatives. If you take the not and the un out, Then he says, therefore, I run with certainty. Amen. He's running with a purpose. He's running his spiritual race with a purpose. Now, I don't know about Wendy, but I know in my case, I would not have gotten up at 4:30 in the morning on the 4th of July, drove down to MARTA, rode MARTA, got down to Lenox Square and run the 6.2 miles from Lenox Square to Piedmont Park on my own without a goal. That's just not something you just, hey, I think I'll get up at 4:30 in the morning and ride MARTA, you know, and drive down to the MARTA station and ride MARTA and just go running down Peachtree Street. No, not without a goal, not without a purpose, not if the big deal hadn't been of the race, and I wouldn't have done that. I had to have a goal. Yes. The goal motivated me to do that. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we have to have a goal and we have to have a purpose in our spiritual race. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
You can't just say, okay, I'm saved, I'm a Christian now, you know, what do I do? You need to understand what God's plan is for your life.
Amen.
You need to understand that God has a plan, and that's why church is important. That's why teaching is important, to help you define your purpose. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible talks about Jesus when he came into Nazareth after, you know, when he started his ministry, you know, he was baptized by John in the Jordan River. And then he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness and he faced the devil and overcame the temptation. And then he went back into his hometown, into Nazareth. And the Bible says he found the place where it was written of him.
Yes.
He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. What was Jesus doing? Jesus found his purpose in the written word of God. He found the place in the word what was written about him.
Yes.
Well, you know, you can find the place in the scripture where it's written about you. The Apostle Paul did the same thing and you can read about it in the book of Acts when he's out in his ministry. He says, he was telling people about his purpose and he referred back to a scripture. God has appointed us to be a light to the Gentiles, he said.
Amen.
That's in the scripture. That's in the book of Isaiah. Yeah. He found that. He said, and when he read it, he said, that's me. That's talking about me. You can find your purpose in the written word of God. You find your purpose in prayer and you need to discover it and you need to find out what it is. Amen. You have to have a goal. Paul said, I run with certainty. You and I need to be running our race with certainty. We need to know what our purpose and our calling is, and we need to be running with that certainty. Amen? Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2, he says, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. Amen. In order to run, you need to have the vision written down. In order to run successfully, you need to have a vision and you need to have it written down. Amen. In order to run and successfully finish your race, you've got to have a goal and you've got to have a purpose. Amen. So find out God's plan and write it down. Even if you don't know all the details, write down what you know. There's something about writing it down that's important. God told Habakkuk here, write the vision down. Everybody say, write the vision. Amen. Write it down. There's something important. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that the folks God spoke to in the Bible, aren't you glad they wrote it down?
Yes.
Huh? Think about that. What if they'd have just had that experience with God where God spoke to them and they're like, wow, God spoke. But they never wrote it down. We wouldn't have it. We wouldn't have this. Thank God they wrote it down. Amen. So write it down. When God speaks to you, write it down. So what if it's not God? Well, you'll figure that out.
Amen.
If it's God, it'll stay. It'll stick. Write it down.
Yes.
Amen. Write the vision down. Why? So that you can run with it.
Amen.
If it's written down, then it becomes clarified. Then it becomes crystallized. Then it becomes clear to you. Then you can run.
Amen.
Then you can run with it. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So write it down so that you can run. That's lesson number one. A goal provides motivation and it provides focus. Then lesson number two, I observed and realized. I'd learned it before, but I was reminded of it as I was running. You perform better and you're more successful when you're running with others. You perform better and you're more successful when you're running with others. Let me tell you about my training regimen for the Peachtree Road Race. I didn't have a lot of time to train. As you may remember, the 1st of May, I turned my ankle really, really severely. And I did experience the Lord's healing because I didn't think I turned it on a Thursday night really bad. I was on crutches all day Friday, and we're having a baptism service that coming up Sunday in 2 days. And I'm thinking, there's no way I'm going to be able to climb up in there and climb down in there, you know, with this ankle. And the Lord healed me. I was able to, in the process of selling my house at the time. Some people came to look at the house on Saturday. I had to run around and, you know, make sure the house was spotless and perfect and everything. In fact, the people that came to see it that day were the people that bought my house. So, yeah. So, and I actually prayed. I was telling myself here, that morning I'd actually prayed, oh, Lord, don't let anybody come see the house today. Thank God he didn't answer that prayer. Because they're the ones that bought it. Amen. But anyway, so I ended up walking over 8,000 steps that day, getting everything straightened up, getting the house ready to be shown and all of that. So I did experience a healing, but my ankle still, I had wisdom enough to know I don't need to be running on this ankle yet. You know, there is a part of where you let it heal as well. Amen. Amen. And where you have wisdom. And so I thought, I don't need to be running yet. I knew I'd signed up to run the Peachtree, but that's 2 months away. I got plenty of time. And so I didn't run any it was over a month before I even started running at all, and then ran with Coco some after that. But then I was moving. I was busy moving. And so I actually started my training for the Peachtree Road Race six days before the race. I don't recommend this, all right? Don't follow my... But I ran on road race was on Thursday, July 4th. And so the Friday before, I got out in my neighborhood where I live now, in the condo that I live in, and I ran 2.4 miles. And it's up and down hills, so it was a pretty good workout. And then 2 days later, that Sunday morning before church, I got up and went down to the Greenway, and I ran 5 miles. Well, I ran 4.4, and I walked like 0.6. Broke it up. But I did 5 miles that morning, so I thought, okay, I did 5 miles. I think I can do this. And then the 2 days before, the Tuesday before, I did run 3 miles, and I was able to run the whole thing on the 3 miles. So I thought, well, I'm ready. I can do this. And as I was doing my 6 days of training, my three training runs, the one that I did on that Sunday where I did the 5 miles, I did 5 miles in exactly 60 minutes. So that's an average, you know, do your math. That's 12 minutes a mile, okay? So 12 minutes per mile was my pace. And I thought, well, okay. So I set my goal, the Peachtree Road Race, is 6.2 miles. So I set my goal. I thought, if I can keep this same pace, then I can do it. I'm gonna set a pretty noble goal of an hour and 15 minutes. I thought, if I can do this in an hour and 15 minutes, I'll be happy. All right. And so that was my goal. But my point is, getting back to my point, you perform better and you're more successful when you're running with others. And I had experienced this when I did the half marathon a year and a half ago. I actually realized that you kind of get carried along in the momentum of other people running. And I thought, you know, I think I'm going to be able to meet this goal and maybe even better it. And I want you to know I did the race in 1 hour, 11 minutes, and 58 seconds, just under an hour and 20. So I beat my goal by 3 minutes and 2 seconds. And I attribute that to the fact that I was running with others. I was running with others, all right? There's a boost physically, but certainly spiritually, that comes to us when we run with others.
Amen.
Now, it's an individual race that we're running, certainly. Paul talks about, where Scripture we're going to look at in a few minutes, he says that I may finish my race. So we have our own individual race. And in the Christian life, we're not racing against each other. I know maybe in the highest echelons of the race, the guys, you know, the world-class runners, which they had because it was a $50,000 $50,000 prize for setting the... I think it's $8,000 for winning, and I think a $50,000 bonus if you broke the record. And I think the guy, did the lady too? I know the guy broke the record. Lady and the guy both broke the record, so they got $58,000. So yeah, there's some competition there. But most of the 60,000 people that are running, they're not running against anybody. They're running with folks. Wendy was running with her friends, you know. And I was running to do my best to break my goal, you know, to beat my goal or to achieve my goal. But I wasn't. We were running with people. Amen? Amen. And that's what the Christian life is. We're not running against each other. We're running with each other.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's look at some scripture that talks about that. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Hebrews 10, 22, he says, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." I was struck as I read this in preparing this message with these statements that Paul makes. He says, "Let us draw near." It's important for me to draw near, but there's something about drawing near with others. Let us draw near. And then he says, "Let us hold fast." Yeah, I've got to hold fast to my faith, but it's easier for me to hold fast to confession of my faith when I'm holding fast to faith with others.
Amen.
Let us hold fast. Let us consider one. Three times Paul says, "Let us." Let us. Amen?
Amen.
And then he gives us the platform, the venue, the medium to do that from, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together.
Amen.
Amen. We perform better. We're more successful in our race when we're running with others. Amen. That's the local church. That's the local assembly. That's the body of Christ. That's community. Amen. Hallelujah. And we need that. Amen. Praise God. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but exhorting one another. Amen. That's the boost we get. We're called to exhort, to encourage one another. Do you know that every one of us brings a supply of the Spirit? Amen. We got some folks missing today, and I miss their supply today. And when you're missing, I miss your supply. And we all miss your supply. Amen. We all bring a supply. Amen. We all need one another. Amen. Don't forsake assembling yourselves together. Why? Because there's power, there's a boost that comes from running with others. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. All right. The next lesson I learned or observed in this is, Wendy, you probably noticed it too, about all the bands that were lined up along. I mean, they were not close enough to where they were playing over each other, but you'd run through one area, there'd be a band playing, and by the time you'd get out of earshot of that band, there'd be another one playing. And it was great. I mean, you know, they weren't playing praise songs, but they were playing these nice, peppy, happy songs that, you know, hey, help you run, you know, help you pick up your pace.
Amen.
And you know, here's what I thought about. I thought about the importance of praise in our Christian life, about how praise helps to motivate us and helps to energize us. Do not minimize the power of praise. Do not lose sight. Listen, the praise in our church service, in our gathering, in our assembly, the praise and worship is not just what we do for the first 15 or 20 minutes for everybody to get in here. And if you look at it that way, if you think, oh, well, you know, it's just praise and worship, the first part. I'll get there by the time the preaching starts. I'll get there by the time the pastor starts, you know, teaching. You're missing out. You're missing out because there's a great strength that comes into your life as you praise God. And not just collectively, but also individually in your life. The runners, we all received a boost. The reason those bands were playing, it's a big celebration and it's a big deal, you know, and all that. But there was I believe that all the runners did, drew some strength and motivation from those bands playing. I mean, if it had been quiet out there and nobody, you know, on the street, I don't think I would have had the energy and the motivation that I had to run the way that I did and to finish that race. So it's all planned. It's all part of it. And in our spiritual race, in our spiritual life, God has ordained praise and worship. In fact, the scripture talks about that. Look at Psalm 8, verse 2. Out of the mouth. I've pointed this out to you many times, but I want to remind you again. Out of the mouth. Everybody say, out of the mouth.
Out of the mouth.
It says, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants. Well, guess what? At one time you were a babe or a nursing infant. You just happened to grow up. But the truth is still the same. If it's true for a baby, it's true for us now. Amen. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. God has ordained strength to come into your life out of your mouth. Let me say that again. God has ordained strength to come into your life out of your mouth.
Amen.
If you need strength, open your mouth. Open your mouth and praise God. Open your mouth and give glory to God. Open your mouth and make a declaration of faith. Amen. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you've ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When we praise God, it silences the devil. Amen. You know, as we were running along there, you know, your body starts telling you you're tired. Your lungs start saying you can't make it up that hill. But then, you know, the music motivates you. You say, yeah, I can make it. It drowns out those voices.
Yeah.
Amen. And Jesus quoted this verse, as we got to it right here. He's quoted the verse in Psalms. And he says, yeah, out of the mouth of babes, you've ordained strength. But look at how Jesus quotes it. Go ahead now, Grayson, to Matthew. Jesus said, the Pharisees said to Jesus, do you hear what these are saying? They thought the children were crying out, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They were in the temple running and they were crying and shouting that. And the Pharisees are saying, y'all need to be quiet here. This is the house of God. You need to be quiet in here. And so they're saying, look, these are your disciples. You need to do something about them. Do you hear them? And Jesus said, yes, I do. And I think he was happy when he said it. I think he said it like, whoo, I sure do. And it sounds wonderful. Amen. Yes. Have you never read? That was this little dig that he always got the fair, because they were experts in the scripture, supposedly. And he would go, oh, you probably never read that, did you? And that was like, I can't believe he got us again. Have you never read out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants? Look, you have perfected what?
Praise.
Praise. In Psalms, he says strength. Here, he says praise. In Psalms, it says out of your mouth will come strength. Jesus says out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you've perfected praise. What happens? When we praise God, it brings strength into our lives.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So don't underestimate the power of praise. Praise helps to motivate and energize you spiritually so you can run your race. Amen. Don't run this race without praise. Don't try to run your spiritual race without liberal doses of praising God on a consistent basis. Amen. Don't slip in here at 10:20. Come at 10 o'clock. Come at 9:40. Come at 9:30. Come at 9 o'clock. Keep backing up. Come at 9 o'clock and pray with Linda and Ayo and saturate this place with prayer and the anointing of God.
Amen.
Amen. And then go and get some coffee. Amen. And charge up your body. And then at 10 o'clock, you're ready just to launch with us. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And in your personal life, spend time every day praising God. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Now, not only were there bands playing, but there was all kinds of hundreds of people just lined, just families and folks that lived in the neighborhoods there, lining the streets, cheering us on, you know, holding out their hands to give you a high five if you happen to be close enough to give them a high five or a fist bump. And they were cheering you, holding up signs, you can do it, way to go. You know, they were on the sidelines cheering us on. And that was, you know, that was motivation. I mean, that helped me keep going. I mean, what a great atmosphere it was, really. Well, you know, spiritually we have that. The Scripture talks about that. Look at Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 1. He says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. I want you to picture them on the sidelines, on the sidewalks as you're running your race. We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run. Let us run. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here again, Paul talks about the Christian life being a race. And he says, I want to encourage you. I want you to see that there's, you got folks, you got a cloud of witnesses. In fact, one translation talks about, brings it out, that they're cheering us on from the grandstand
Amen.
Of heaven. Who are these cloud of witnesses? Well, Hebrews chapter 11, the heroes of faith. If you read Hebrews 11, you find out he talks about Enoch, and he talks about Noah. He talks about Abel. He talks about Enoch. He talks about Noah. He talks about Abraham. He talks about Sarah. He talks about David. He talks about all these heroes of faith in the Old Testament. He talks about Joseph. He talks about Jacob. All these heroes of faith in the Old Testament, their stories, their accounts, how God worked in their lives, that is a witness to us, cheering us on. Again, I'm pointing you back to the written Word of God. As you read about David going out to face Goliath, then I hope you can hear David cheering you on, saying, you can defeat the giants in your life. You can defeat, just like I defeated Goliath, you can defeat the giants in your life through faith in God's word, through faith in the name, through faith in the covenant that we have with God. You can defeat the giants in your life just like I did. Hallelujah. Hear David cheering you on. When you read the account in the Scripture with the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5, and you see the statement that Jesus makes to her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. And I hope you can hear the woman with the issue of blood saying to you, if my faith can make me whole, then your faith can make you whole.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let these folks cheer you on. And I believe it's also talking about our contemporaries, our loved ones, and our contemporaries who have gone on. I believe they're on the other side cheering us on.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. So we're surrounded, just like we were encouraged and we were surrounded on either side. The sidewalks down Peachtree were aligned with people clapping and cheering and encouraging us and holding out high fives. I want you to know we've got a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. And Paul says, since we are, let's run our race. Don't quit. Don't give up. Run the race with and get this, run the race with endurance. This is not a sprint. This is not a sprint. This is an endurance race. Amen? This is an endurance race. So learn also another bit of wisdom in an endurance race. One thing I've had to learn is what my pace is. I mean, you can get out and you can run. You know, you might look good for the first 200 yards and you run hard. And sometimes you see kids and, you know, doing that. And they'll go flying out, you know, and then 200 yards up the way. You know, they're like this because they've run out. And me, I'm trotting along like that. and I've learned what my pace is, what I can do. Learn what your pace is. It's an endurance race. Amen? Stay with it. I thought about the parable of the sower where Jesus said, these are the ones, he said, that are like the stony ground, the seed that's sown on stony ground. And the seed is planted and it shoots up real quick. You know, but it says these are Jesus in explaining that, he said, these are like people that believe for a while. I don't want to be one of those that believe for a while.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Then he says, when tribulation, when persecution comes for the word's sake, they fade away. I don't want to fade away. I want to finish my race. It's an endurance race.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
It's an endurance race. Praise God. So learn to pace yourself. In Acts chapter 20, let's go there. Paul continues In his teaching and in his writing, he continues to talk about and use the analogy of the metaphor of a race. In Acts 20, verse 22, He says, "And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city." As Paul was on his way, working his way to Jerusalem, every city he went to, people were prophesying, the saints, the believers were prophesying to him about trouble awaiting him. And that was not a false prophecy. It was true. All right. And he says, the Holy Spirit testifies that chains and tribulations await me. Look at what he says in verse 24. But none of these things move me.
Amen.
Woo! None of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself. Why, Paul? So that I may finish my race. You see that? So that I may finish my race with joy.
Amen.
With joy. Why? The joy of the Lord is your strength. And the joy comes from praise. Amen? So that I may finish my race. And notice he said my race. We all have a specific race. We're not racing against each other. You have a race, a specific calling, a specific purpose that's unique to you, as unique as your fingerprint, and as unique as the DNA in your body, the race that God has called you to run. Amen. So that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God.
Amen.
That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to finish your race with joy. Amen. He doesn't want you to finish and collapse and say, "Oh, well, I'm glad this is over." He wants you to finish with joy. Amen. We ought to be finishing our races with joy.
Amen.
Amen. Running our races and finishing with joy. What is that? It's whatever ministry that we've received from the Lord Jesus. Amen. That's what your race is. It's whatever ministry that you've received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Amen. That is many, many faceted, as Peter writes in 1 Peter, the many faceted grace of God. It's many sided. Amen. It's unique. However God made you and created you, your race, your purpose is unique. Find it and run it. Don't compare yourself with other people. You know, don't say, "Oh, well, you know, he's outrunning me," or they got a different race. Amen. Your race is unique. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. So in this, he says, tribulations and chains await me. So there may be times that you're tired. This is lesson number 5. There may be times when you're tired and you feel like quitting, but keep moving, even if you're just walking and not running. There was a few times in that race, there's a place on that course, if you're familiar with it, called Cardiac Hill. Cardiac Hill. It was funny, you know. I was running along, and there was a guy running with his team, and I heard him say, "Come on, guys, this is Cardiac Hill. Let's take it." And so they took off running, and I thought, "Well, yeah, let's go." And I wouldn't run quite with them, but I thought, "Good, we're getting this out of the way." And we, you know, I thought, "Well, that wasn't so bad." And then, so went a few, maybe another 100 yards, and somebody said, "Oh, Cardiac Hill's coming up." I yelled over to him, I said, "Coming up, I thought we done it." But that was Little Hill. It was Cardiac Hill coming up. I thought, I'd been running for about 3 miles, it was about 3 miles in, I think. So I thought, this is a good time to walk. And so my walking was pretty good. I actually passed a few people running when I was walking. They were running, I was walking, and I still passed them. So, by the way, I calculated up. I did pass about 20-something thousand people in that race. So, I started out, I wasn't racing against people, but I started out in the R group. What were you? You were?
We were R and U.
R and U, okay. All right, so some of your people were in my group then, I guess.
I hung back with them.
Okay. That's right, exactly. Okay, all right. So they start you in waves, and so the A group is first, so you can imagine. So R starts a good little bit later. So each group has 2,000 or 3,000 people in it, okay, because there's 60,000 in the whole thing. So I finished in 22nd thousandth place, okay, and I started in like, you know, close to 50th thousandth place. So I figured up I passed about 20-something thousand people. So just wanted to throw that out there. All right. Anyway, Don't let anything move you. Paul said, none of these things move me. Don't let anything cause you to quit making progress towards your goal. Keep moving forward. Keep walking. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. There are times where you have to walk, but just keep walking. Keep moving forward. Keep making progress. Amen? Hallelujah. All right. And this final one, and Reed, you can come on back up if you would. As we turn, so the race course is down Peachtree into Midtown, and then it turns on to 10th Street. When you get to 10th Street, you go down 10th Street, and you go into Piedmont Park from there. And as we turned onto 10th Street, and we headed toward Piedmont Park, to my astonishment, all these people that are dragging along and barely going, all of a sudden, we see something, and I'm looking. Everybody's picking up the pace. Did you notice that? Same thing. You know, they were all like this, and then we turn the corner. Because that's where they were taking the picture, number one. Everybody did it though. Everybody picked, and I'll be honest with you, when I ran the half marathon, same thing. I had that's 13 miles though. And so I had, my plan was, okay, I'm just gonna finish this. If I have to walk the last 3 miles, fine. And I was walking the last 3 miles of that half marathon, but then the finish line came in view. Hey, finish line's a few hundred yards away. I started running again. I mean, I was flying across that finish line. I think, how can he be running this fast and it took him 2 hours and 50 minutes to do this? So. Everybody picked up the pace as the finish line came into view. And it's in a way, it's a bit of an indictment. When you think about it spiritually, when you think about sometimes in our spiritual life, we lose sight of the finish line. We lose sight of eternity. We lose sight of what's really important and what's of eternal value. And we just start kind of shuffling along and we get discouraged and we get distracted and we lose our purpose. But it's when we get the finish line in view again. Sometimes for people, it's a crisis in their life. It's some crisis in their life that awakes them to the reality of eternity again. To get them to say, oh, wow, there's a finish line there. Oh, wow, heaven is real. Oh, wow, I will stand before Jesus one day. And then they begin to pick up the pace and they get back to running again. What doesn't have to be forced on us. We can take the Word of God and we can walk close enough to God to where we keep the finish line in view on a consistent basis, to where it keeps our pace constant. Amen. Keep the finish line in view and finish strong. Amen. Don't let the finish line, when we saw that finish line, it was like it was speaking to us saying, don't quit now, you're almost there. It's there. There's Piedmont Park. You can see it. There's the, you know, there's the finish line. Here's what Paul said about that. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only. Here's how you can get the crown too. But also to all who have loved his appearing. Amen. The crown of righteousness, an eternal crown, a crown that will never perish, that the Lord will give to all who have loved or longed for or looked for his appearing. How do we keep the finish line in view? How do we do that in our spiritual life? By studying the prophetic scriptures. By keeping in view the fact that Jesus is coming again. Bible talks about, and Jesus told a parable in Luke about the wicked servant who got the idea, my master's delaying his coming. He's not coming back for a long time. And he began to, the Bible says he began to get drunk. He began to abuse the other servants. His master had put him in charge of giving food to the other servants. And he says, I don't need to worry about that. And suddenly the master comes back. And it's not good for that servant when that happens, when he comes back in that condition. So we need to be careful about losing sight of, and unfortunately we don't hear back in the charismatic renewal and the word of faith renewal, there was a great wave of teaching on the return of Jesus. And people got, people always get into error about things. 88 reasons why Jesus is coming back in 88. Well, we're still here. 88 came and went 31 years ago, and we're still here. But you know what? We're 31 years closer. Yeah. I said we're 31 years closer. Jesus is coming. He is coming back, just like he said. Amen. Just because somebody got off with it, don't throw the whole message out. Jesus is coming back, and we need to be looking for his return. We need to be anticipating his return. We need to be the bride of Christ looking for her bridegroom coming back, preparing, being ready. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Remembering that we're realizing we'll stand before him. We'll all stand, Paul said, before the judgment seat of Christ. And we'll give an account for our life. It's not a judgment of whether we're saved or going to hell. That's ours. When you received Jesus, that was settled. But it will be a judgment. What did I do? What did I do with the gifts he gave me? What did I do with the calling and purpose that he called me with for my life? What did I abandon that because times got hard, because I encountered difficulty, or because I made mistake? Did I throw that away, or did I keep reaching for that? Did I keep embracing that? Did I keep running that race? Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Now, one last observation. I noticed this. This is beautiful, I think. At the finish line, there was a great reunion of families. Some family members had gone on ahead and finished ahead. Just like some of your family members. They've already finished their race. But oh, when the people crossed the finish line, their family members were there clapping and cheering and ready to embrace them. You made it. We've been waiting for you. You did it. You finished. That's what heaven's going to be like. That's what heaven's going to be like. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll finish this up with this in the message. Look at what Paul says here in verse 7. This is the only race worth running. Hallelujah. Peachtree Road Race was fun. I may do it again. But this race that we're all involved in, this race, this Christian life, this is the only race worth running. Paul said, I've run hard. I've run hard right to the finish. Believed all the way. Let that be your testimony. Let that be your witness. I've run hard right to the finish. Believed all the way. Hallelujah. The next verse. All that's left now is the shouting. God's applause. Depend on it. He's an honest judge. He'll do right not only by me, but everyone eager for his coming. Hallelujah. Stand up and worship with me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's dedicate ourselves afresh and anew to running the race that God has called us to run.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord. Reed, could you transition back over to that, how wonderful you are, and let's just worship with that as we pray. And I really want you to do this right now. I want you to dedicate yourself afresh and anew. Hallelujah. Maybe you've lost sight of the finish line. Maybe you've allowed circumstances, or you've allowed disappointments, or things to happen in your life, and think, "Oh well, I can't finish that now. I can't do that." Your race is still out there before you.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you. Dedicate yourself right now, just before God. Just stand before Him right now, and just dedicate yourself afresh and anew. Maybe you're at a place where, "Lord, I need certainty. I need certainty." Paul said, "I run with certainty." Maybe you need certainty in your life. Ask the Lord for that right now. Ask Him for that. He'll answer you. He'll show you. He'll give you that certainty. Pray for that right now. Pray, "Lord, Father, give me certainty about my race. I want to know. I want to know clearly about my race, the race You've called me to run. I need more understanding. I need more wisdom. I need more insight about that race so that I can run it fully, so that I can run it with full consecration, with full dedication, with full motivation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah." And then don't ever lose sight of the fact we run better together. We run better together. Dedicate yourself afresh and anew to being a part of the body of Christ, to being a part of this local assembly for your benefit, but also the supply that you bring, the supply of the Spirit that you bring to help others in their race. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, Father. Thank you, Father. Don't ever lose sight of the power and the importance of praise. Let praise saturate your life. Let it be part of your daily life, because that's going to give you energy, strength. God has ordained strength to come out of your mouth as you praise Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise God. And say like Paul, "None of these things move me. None of these things move me. No disappointment, no failure, no setback, no opposition, no obstacle, no hindrance. None of these things move me. None of these things move me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself." Why? "That I may finish my race with joy." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In fact, let's make that declaration. Say this after me. None of these things move me. No failure. No obstacle. No opposition. No setback. None of these things move me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself. That I may finish my race with joy. And the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus. I will finish my race with joy. Hallelujah. 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 Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over myself, and I pray for everyone here, Lord, as we consecrate ourselves, as we dedicate ourselves afresh and anew to the race that You've called us to run, that we'll run our race with endurance. Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your grace empowering us. Thank You, as we wait upon You, we'll renew our strength, and we'll run and not be weary, and we'll walk and not faint. In the name of Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank you, Lord.